And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Economists call the surge of workers that left their job over the last year the Great Resignation. Alaska nonprofits are also feeling the effects. It's a serious problem for organizations that rely on volunteer staff. Lori Wolf runs Alaska's 4-Acre Group, which offers support and training to nonprofits.
Not unlike in the workplace, where we're seeing the Great Resignation and the Great Reshuffle in how people are choosing to spend their work time, we're also seeing that same reflection in people's volunteer time.
The organization works directly with many of Alaska's volunteer boards by offering support and training. Wolf says she's seen two main outcomes of the pandemic for Alaska nonprofits. They either need to ramp up services because of increased demand or close down for public health reasons. In Juneau, there's evidence of that trend. Marianne Mills is the program director for Southeast Senior Services, which runs the Meals on Wheels delivery service.
Since the pandemic, it's been a real challenge finding enough volunteers because the number of routes have doubled.
The pandemic shut down typical fundraising events, and there aren't enough volunteers to staff the Helping Hands food pantry. Karen Fort Wrangler is the organization's director.
I'm basically down to one volunteer that's been doing everything because I can't even help myself. And two monetary donations. We just are not getting them in.
The Helping Hands food pantry has served Juneau for nearly four decades, but it will close at the end of the month. The race for the state house seat representing Ketchikan, Wrangell, Metlakatla, and Kaufman Cove is separated by fewer than 200 votes. Neither candidate has conceded the race as hundreds of absentee ballots remain to be counted. KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
Independent Representative Dan Ortez holds a 187-vote lead over Republican challenger Jeremy Bynum in the race for House District 1. That gives Ortez a roughly 3 percentage point lead with just over 51% of the vote. That tally includes about 820 absentee votes. Though they must be postmarked by Election Day, mailed ballots have 10 days to arrive from within the U.S. and 15 to arrive from overseas. That means 750-plus votes could be added to the tally in the coming days. So with more than half of the potential absentee vote outstanding, the race is too close to call. In an interview shortly after 1 a.m. Wednesday, Ortez said he was glad to be leading in early results.
I'm not declaring anything yet, a long ways from that, but certainly happy to be up 187 versus down 187.
He congratulated Bynum on a well-run race.
He got out there in a lot of different ways and certainly worked hard at it and ran an overall good campaign, I felt, and ran a clean campaign as well. So hats off to him. He was a very, very worthy opponent.
Absentees counted so far favor Ortez by a roughly 60-40 margin. Bynum would have to flip that and win at least 62% of the remaining vote to pull ahead. Even so, in an interview Wednesday afternoon, Bynum said he's still hoping to eke out a victory.
You know, we are behind, but, you know, you could always be hopeful. A little bit of hope never hurt.
Bynum said he's proud of the race he ran. He thanked his supporters.
We put hard work into it, and the results are what the results are. And we're just going to continue working in the community and advocating for the things and the reasons why I decided to run.
Ortez did the best in Metlakatla, where he won 75% of the vote. He also did well in downtown and Newtown Ketchikan precincts, as well as Saxman, where he won almost 60% of the vote. Bynum's strongest supporters were in the Prince of Wales Island community of Kaufman Cove and two precincts north of Ketchikan city limits. He got more than 60% of the vote in those three precincts. Election officials will run a ranked choice tabulation on November 23rd once all valid ballots are counted. But in this two-way race, ranked choice voting is not expected to have an effect on the results. The election is expected to be certified on November 29th. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
And biologists say that wolves on Prince of Wales Island have a high level of inbreeding. Although it's not an emergency, it's something that game managers are keeping their eyes on. KRBD's Reagan Miller has more from Ketchikan.
It's rare for a wolf to find its way to Prince of Wales Island and breed with a member of the local population. About one new arrival is expected every 5 years, which equals roughly one generation of wolves. That's according to a 2019 study by researchers at the University of Montana. Tom Schumacher is the regional supervisor for the game area that includes Prince of Wales Island. He mentioned the study at a recent meeting with local trappers.
It's very rare for wolves from outside Unit 2 to immigrate and join the breeding population in Unit 2. and you can actually calculate a rate from genetics. And the rate that the student calculated was about one individual per wolf generation. A wolf generation being 4 to 5 years, so that means every 4 to 5 years, one individual from outside Unit 2 moves into Unit 2 and breeds with the other wolves here and produces offspring.
By itself, inbreeding in wolves isn't a huge problem. Schumacher says it's expected on an island. The problem is what happens when it gets out of control, something called inbreeding depression. That could translate to things like infertility or deformities. A wolf pack in Michigan at the Isle Royale National Park is suffering from inbreeding depression. And according to the study of the Prince of Wales Island wolves, the two packs share about the same level of inbreeding.
When closely related animals breed together, there's a greater likelihood of passing on unfavorable traits because both the mother and the father have those traits. And if both parents have them, they're more likely to be expressed in the offspring.
Schumacher says biologists have seen this happen elsewhere, and the study out of Montana is a red flag for Prince of Wales Island. But it isn't time to sound the alarm yet.
It's not an emergency, but it raises a flag, and it says, you know, you really need to look at this. And we currently have a much larger data set to look at.
That's because as of last fall, the state's Department of Fish and Game estimated that there are around 268 wolves on the island. That's higher than the target population of somewhere between 150 and 200 animals. There are other packs in the region that stick together, too. Packs around the units containing Ketchikan, Petersburg, and Kupernoff Island are also highly inbred. Wolves that dominate the area around the Stikine River, the Upper Lynn Canal, and Glacier Bay also have close connections.
But they're less inbred. They appear to be better connected to wolves outside the region.
For now, management of the wolves will remain the same. The wolf harvest for Prince of Wales Island starts on November 15th and will last 31 days. In Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
And the biggest town on Prince of Wales Island needs a bigger cemetery. In Craig, there are only a handful of graves left. City officials have been working to expand the site without disrupting the rest of the popular attractions on Cemetery Island. This is also from Reagan Miller at KRBD.
There are 5 or 6 unclaimed graves left at the Craig Memorial Cemetery.
So while we do have more space, a lot of them have been claimed, and we have stopped allowing that system due to the lack of available space.
That's Samantha Wilson, Craig City Planning Director. She says residents can't reserve graves anymore because of the lack of space. That's why the city decided to start expanding the cemetery. She says the expansion is a big project. It will likely unfold over the next 30 years, and the city is estimating spending up to $30,000 annually on improvements. That includes adding more graves and a place to store ashes known as a columbarium. It would expand the cemetery by at least 10,000 square feet, including more parking and at least 200 new grave sites. The project also would restore old stairs leading up to the hillside graves. Wilson says Cemetery Island means a lot to residents.
Well, the cemetery area is pretty important for our community because it's not just used as grave space. It's also part of a major recreation area, and it's right on the water.
A well-loved trail winds through the cemetery, and there are ball fields, a playground, and a picnic area nearby. Wilson says residents want to see expansions to those areas, but not at the expense of the peaceful grave sites.
I think a lot of it's what we had in mind from the get-go, because we don't want to eliminate current uses, but definitely continuing to maintain the character of the cemetery while meeting future needs and continuing to meet current needs as well.
Wilson says that the improvements to Cemetery Island will be spaced out over the decades that it takes to complete the project. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
The families of the victims of a 2020 mid-air plane crash over Saldatna have reached a settlement, according to one of the family's lawyers, putting to rest a set of several lawsuits over the accident that killed then-Republican Gary Knopp and 6 others. The settlement comes more than 2 years after Knopp's private plane collided with the charter plane, killing the 4 passengers, guide, and pilot aboard. Last year, representatives for the 4 victims' families filed 2 separate federal lawsuits against Knopp's estate and his widow. Both suits also targeted the state of the charter pilot who died in the crash and the 2 companies that owned and operated the charter plane. Their complaints allege that Knopp was negligent since he was flying without a medical certification. Knopp was denied a certification in 2012 due to vision problems. Schneider, the attorney, says the settlement consolidates those suits and that there's no outstanding litigation. An attorney for Knopp declined to comment on the settlement. In Juneau, it's currently 34 degrees and raining lightly at the Juneau International Airport. More rain and snow is expected tonight, and tomorrow, more rain and snow is expected as well. You're listening to KTOO.